to unite his fractured kingdom and win over France's fiercely Catholic capital city, reputedly with the words, Paris vaut bien une messe, Paris is well worth a mass. He was crowned in Chartres in February 1594, and his excommunication was lifted a year later. The Edict of Nantes, when it came into force in 1598, was perhaps less a genuine reflection of a desire for true religious tolerance than an expression of exhaustion and military stalemate. It brought a grudging peace to a country that had torn itself apart over matters of doctrine, religion, citizenship, and sovereignty, and all but bankrupted itself in the process. Henri IV's grandson, Louis XIV, revoked the Edict of Nantes at Fontainebleau on the 22nd of October 1685, precipitating the forced exodus of those Huguenots still remaining in France. Every country which accepted the refugees was enriched by their presence. Indeed, the word refugee comes from réfugié, a French word first used to describe the Huguenots. The 80 Years' War in the Low Countries was no less complicated. Beginning in 1568, it was a revolt of the 17 provinces, what are today the Netherlands, Belgium and Luxembourg, against the violent occupation of Habsburg Spain. Under the leadership of the Prince of Orange, Willem the Silent, the invasion forces under the Duke of Alba, working for Philip II of Spain, were eventually expelled from the north and west of the country. On the 18th of February 1578, the Satisfaction was signed, reconciling Amsterdam and Holland, and on the 29th of May the same year, Amsterdam, the last major city in Holland remaining Catholic, finally became Calvinist in what is known as the Alteration. What is extraordinary in the context of the bloody history of the times is that no one was killed. I have allowed myself many artistic liberties in the imagining of this event, too. Hollanders, Frisians, Zeelanders, Gelderlanders, and others gradually started to think of themselves as Dutch. On the 26th of July 1581, the provinces signed the Act of Abjuration, the first step to self-rule for the Netherlands. In 1588, the Republic of the Seven United Provinces was established, and in 1609, 1 year before the assassination of Henri IV in Paris, the Dutch Republic was recognised. All the same, it would be another generation before the Peace of Munster was signed in 1648, marking the end of the 80 Years' War and the beginning of the so-called Golden Age of the 17th century. The story of French Protestantism and the beginning of the Dutch Republic are both part of the larger European story of the Reformation. From Martin Luther hammering his 95 Theses to the church door in Wittenberg on the 31st of October 1517, Henry VIII of England's dissolution of the monasteries, which began in 1536, to the missionary evangelist Calvin setting up his safe haven in Geneva for French refugees in 1541, and the sanctuary offered to Protestant refugees in Amsterdam and Rotterdam from the late 1560s onwards. Key points at issue were the right to worship in one's own language, a rejection of the cult of relics and intercession, a more rigorous focus on the words of the Bible itself and a desire to worship simply based on the rules for living laid down in Scripture, a rejection of the excesses and abuses of the Catholic Church that were repugnant to many, and the nature of the host in communion. For most people, though, these matters of doctrine were remote. There are many excellent histories of the Huguenots, and the influence of this small community is extraordinary. A diaspora that took them, as skilled immigrants, to Holland, Germany, England, Ireland, the New World, Canada, Russia, Denmark, Sweden, Switzerland, and South Africa. The origins of the word Huguenot are unclear, though there are indications that initially it might have been a term of abuse, and contemporary followers tended to refer to themselves as members of l'Église réformée, or the Reformed Church. For the sake of the narrative, however, I have used Protestant, Calvinist, and Huguenot within the text. The City of Tears is the second in a series of novels set against this backdrop of 300 years of history, travelling from 16th century France and Amsterdam to the Cape of Good Hope in the 18th and 19th centuries. The characters and their families, unless otherwise specified, are imagined, though inspired by the kind of people who might have lived. Ordinary women and men struggling to live, love and survive against a backdrop of religious...